Well, this morning we had a master class from the psalmist on praising God. Tonight we have a master class from the Apostle Peter given through the Holy Spirit on mixing metaphors. Because when you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter is letting us know through the Holy Spirit that a sheep, a Christian, can so listen to wolves, to what is false and what isn't godly. A sheep can so listen to wolves that the sheep becomes a sick dog and a dirty pig. Now, I got to tell you, I was wondering what songs Thomas was going to lead tonight. When you have a sermon with the title, A Sick Dog and Dirty Pig, you could kind of wonder. I could guess at some that Adam might have led this morning about praise. But A Sick Dog and Dirty Pig is a little tougher. But Thomas did very, very well in his choices. So look with me, if you will, at 2 Peter. 2 Peter is a brief book. 2 Peter chapter 1 is all about explanation. An explanation of godliness. Because you see, 2 Peter is a book about transformation, the difference that Jesus can make in one's life. So it's all about cultivating godliness in 2 Peter chapter 1. When you get to 2 Peter chapter 2, it is about examination. Examination. Examination of false teaching and false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 2 is a great chapter dealing with that particular thought. And as untasteful as it might be, we as Christians do have to deal with false teaching and false teachers. 2 Peter in the chapter 2 is in the Bible for a reason. We need to pay a lot of attention to it. You get to 2 Peter chapter 3, it's about exhortation. Exhortation. Chapter 1 is about cultivating godliness. Chapter 2 is about examining false teaching and false teachers. Chapter 3 is about exhortation in view of the second coming of Christ. A word that you're going to see quite a bit, as a matter of fact, four times in this chapter, is the word beloved. Beloved, be mindful. 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 7. Beloved, be aware, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Beloved, be not ignorant, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. Beloved, beware, 2 Peter 3, 15 through 18. Lest being carried away with the error of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness. But let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2 now and consider verses 20 through 22. Six observations concerning his theme of a sick dog and a dirty pig. Six observations. Observation number one, he makes a connection. When you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, it's really important to look at verses 1 up to verse 19, through verse 19. Because the entire chapter is devoted to false teaching, the effect that false teachers can have. Now, it's an interesting interpretive question. When you get to verses 20 through 22, is he specifically talking about false teachers, or is he speaking of those who by the false teaching, who embrace the false teaching? And when you look at the context, maybe the weight of the evidence goes to the false teacher, but I'll tell you what, to be influenced and to embrace false teaching, either way, the outcome is not anything pleasant. And so really what this passage is doing is admonishing us, warning us about the preciousness of the faith and to hold to it tenaciously. Hold to the pattern of sound words which you've seen in me in faith and in love which are in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. So the connection is the first observation. Notice the passage in its context. In a chapter all about false teachers and embracing false teaching. Observation number two. There's a supposition. There's a supposition. Look at 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. For if, he's not merely dealing with a hypothetical situation. He's not dealing with something that really cannot occur in reality. He is dealing with something that is very, very possible. In your Bibles, by this passage, 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22, I'd encourage you to put 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4, and how this book begins. When you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, is it possible to have a like precious faith as Peter and the apostles and other faithful ones? As you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 4, is it possible to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is it possible? As you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, is it possible to become a partaker of the divine nature? Is it possible to have grace and peace multiplied to us? Every Bible student, as far as I know, believes that we are dealing with very real things in 2 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 4, as far as coming to Christ and the gospel. Why, oh why, would 2 Peter chapter 2 not be telling us about very real possibilities concerning departing from Jesus and the gospel? This becomes even more obvious when we observe this. Observation number three, a proposition. A proposition. What is being said? If, first of all, they have escaped. They have escaped. Just as people had escaped the pollution of the world in coming to Christ, 2 Peter 1, one escapes. Notice what he says. What they do, they have escaped. They've escaped what? The pollution, the defilement of the world. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. Filthy things, the pollutants, the contaminants of this world. How do they escape? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. They escape through knowledge. Just as knowledge brought people to Christ, a rejection of knowledge of Jesus and His gospel, a neglect of it, can cause one to become a sick dog and a dirty pig. Keep looking at the passage of our Lord and Savior, of our Lord and Savior. Just like our God and Savior, verse 1 of 2 Peter 1, and the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord in verse 2. Notice what happens. They are again, mark that. They return to a former place. They return to a former state or way of life or condition. They are again, and the text says entangled in the English Standard that I'm reading from. They are entangled. Imagine a fly caught in a spider's web. Imagine a fish caught in a fish net. Imagine a bird that gets caught in a net or a butterfly. It's hard to get out, isn't it? And the more it struggles, the more entangled it seems to be. Not able to get out. And notice what the text says again in verse 20. They are entangled and overcome. They're enslaved. They are enslaved. Now look for a fourth observation. You see in verse 20, what does the text say? It says something about the conclusion of the matter. Here's what the text says is the conclusion of a person in this condition. The last state is worse than the first. There's little doubt in my mind that Peter is referring to the words of Jesus himself in a slightly different context. But here in 2 Peter 2, it has to do with listening to and embracing things that are false. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 12, verses 43 through 45. Matthew 12, 43 through 45. And please listen as I read the passage. Matthew 12, 43 through 45. The last state's worse than the first. Jesus says, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to the house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the person is worse than the first. So will it be with this evil generation. In context, Peter had just been saying that the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, and a far greater one than Jonah has come, and people are hard-hearted. What will be the outcome of such a people? There's no other way than Jesus and His gospel. What will be the outcome of those who not only reject His gospel, but neglect it and substitute something else for Him and His salvation? Sometimes people can get so hardened that it becomes just really, really difficult for them to ever come back, doesn't it? They'll say something like this. Maybe you've spoken with someone that's kind of wandered away and they become very calloused. I've been there. I've done that. Those people are all hypocrites at that congregation. Things of that nature. And they harden themselves more and more. The last state is worse than the first, because the one thing worse, possibly, than not embracing the gospel, rejecting it initially, is to receive it, only to neglect it and leave it. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Two more to examine. Just look now at verse 21 and a fifth observation. Listen to this explanation. It would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness. It would have been better. Greater knowledge entails greater responsibility than to have turned back. How could they turn back from something that they had never really embraced? This passage is devastating to the once saved, always saved position. I believe sometimes we don't speak strongly enough about the wrongness of once saved, always saved, but at the same time, there are some people who give the impression once saved, barely saved. Once saved, scarcely saved. Neither is what the Bible is teaching. The Bible is teaching in 2 Peter and virtually every place else that I know of the necessity of godliness and personal transformation after we come to Jesus. Now notice again, to turn back, not to have known the way of righteousness. The holy commandment that had been delivered to them. That brings me to verse 22 and to the sixth observation. It's an illustration. that of a sick dog, and that of a dirty pig. The same two animals are referred to by Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. Dogs and pigs. Now I think about those two animals, and we're not talking about a sweet cuddly puppy dog. We're not talking about Lassie, for those that remember the collie by that name. We're talking about dogs that ran in packs and were scavengers and ate dirty things and would often attack children or the elderly. You look at a pig, and we are not talking about Miss Piggy. We're not talking about Babe, for those that remember the good movie from a few years ago. And for country boys like me, we're not talking about Green Acres and Arnold Ziffel. If you go back that far, you're really dating yourself. And several of you are smiling, so watch out. Watch out. Watch TV Land sometimes for those of you that are under 20, and you can watch Green Acres. The fact of the matter is, the dogs being spoken of weren't man's best friend, and the pigs being spoken of weren't like Miss Piggy or Babe. They were dirty. But notice in each case, the decision is made by the critter. Here's something very interesting to notice, and by the way, it's always good to do this before the evening meal. It helps us learn moderation. The dog is sick. How do I know that? Because it ejects. It ejects vomit. Not in good health when that occurs. Something has got to go. But then what does the dog do? And probably one of the epitomes of grossness in the New Testament, but to illustrate a profound spiritual point, the dog eats it again. Wouldn't it have been so much better off to just ejected it and left it? That's the impact of false teaching. One becomes like a dog that eats again what one has ejected. Then consider the pig. The pig has been cleansed only to return to a filthy, dirty way again. Preferential lifestyle choice. It seems to me that the two illustrations graphically and vividly show the awfulness of knowing the truth, but embracing something else. A sick dog and a dirty pig. It is entirely possible that a sheep, a Christian, can be so influenced by wolves that one who is a sheep becomes a sick dog and a dirty pig. Peter's point through the Spirit is how tragic, how awful, how unnecessary. Beware. Please pray with me. God in heaven, thank you for speaking to us through your word. Thank you for speaking to us through your Son, our Savior and Lord. Thank you for the apostles and prophets that declared your word and that we have your word in written form. God in heaven, if to be forewarned is to be forearmed, you have forewarned us. God, help us to long to be sheep. And help us to become sheep that follow the shepherd wherever he goes. Because we know that he will get us home. Help us not to listen to other voices. Help us not to listen to those who are wolves pretending to be sheep or wolves pretending to be shepherds. Help us to remember that in Christ alone are the words of life and we should go to no other. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're about to stand and sing our song of encouragement. Perhaps someone needs to come to Jesus tonight. Perhaps there's a brother or sister here present that the world is really tugging on you. And the words of wolves are starting to sound more appealing than the word of Jesus. It can take a lot of forms, can it? Money and greed, worldliness, embracing things that are false, that cost us our soul, that can do that. If you need the prayers of this congregation, we would be humbled and blessed to pray with you and for you. And thank God, forgiveness can be found in Jesus and His blood. And for those that are not Christians, what in the world holds you back from coming to Him in faith and repentance and baptism? If you are of the age of accountability, Jesus says, come. There's grace and forgiveness to be found. There's a shepherd who can get you home. Won't you come while we stand?